Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm so excited I might pass out. It's so good. If I haven't told you, it's so good that you're here again. Man, I miss this. And it's so nice to have people in here while I'm preaching. So if my sermon goes on about 30 or 40 minutes a day, don't worry. You'll understand why. No, I'm kidding. Don't leave, okay? In God's image. We're made in God's image. That's special, you know. Nothing in all creation, not even the angels of heaven, the created beings of the angels, were made in God's image. In fact, because we're made in God's image, we are the crown and the pinnacle of God's creation. We are everything to God. And that's why he's done everything for us, so that we might sit at the crown jewel of his mighty and beautiful creation, as his holy, loved, and dear people. So much so that he sent Jesus into our world to live a life of perfection and credit us with that life of perfection, to die for our sins and to give us forgiveness, and to rise from the dead to give us his gift of eternal life forever. If that doesn't tell you how special we are, then you don't get it. You missed the boat. But to be made in God's image, what exactly does that mean? And I think on this Holy Trinity Sunday, it's good for us to take a step back and to look at this and say, well, as we've already said three times in the service, according to Luther, what does this mean? What does it mean to be created in God's image? The first thing that I want to point out to you is that when God created the world, and when he created man, this is what he said. He said, let us make man in our own image. Now, be careful and pay attention to that. That's important, his language. Us and our, the plural form, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. But what's interesting, he says, let's make them in our image. Now, you might think, well, does this look like a God to you? Don't answer that. My wife says this looks like a God to her. Oh, I just got her head shake. I'm in trouble. But anyways, no, I wouldn't say that I look like a God at all, right? You know, so what does that mean? What does it mean that God created us in his own image? I think sometimes we read this and we talk about it, but we really don't hit at the heart and the core and the center of what God is teaching us here. God is Trinitarian, right? He's one being, yet there are three persons in one being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I tell kids in confirmation all the time, and I'll tell you now, don't even try to understand it. You see, faith isn't about understanding. Faith is about believing. And if God says I'm three beings, but yet I'm one, then we believe it. But he does give us some unique clues in this, that he is three beings in one. As we look at ourselves, we actually see that we are two Trinitarian in our makeup. We have a body, we have a mind, and we have a soul. Very interesting, isn't it? All three distinct parts of us, but yet all one. And so we are Trinitarian in our makeup. The body is important. God gave us this body to be used in this world. He gave us this body, and it's so important that he says, when I come back to the world on the last day, I'm going to raise that very body up from its grave in a final resurrection to be with me forever. So we know that the body is important. And therefore, because the body is important, we know that God provides for it. He provides the air that we breathe. He provides the food that we eat. He provides the fun things that we enjoy and the safety and all of these things. And that gives us a clue about the body. The body is to be cared for and maintained, not worshiped. We don't worship our bodies, and that would be wrong because we're called only to worship God. But we are called to maintain our bodies and to keep them healthy. Maybe that means eating healthy and doing exercise, sleeping and getting enough sleep. All of these things are important. Hence, God said, I've created the Sabbath day and I've made it a day to be holy for you. What did God do on the Sabbath day? God, the creator of the universe, he said, I'm tired, I need to rest. It was a long week of work. And if God needs to rest, we need to rest. So taking that rest time is valuable for us as well to maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind. And a healthy soul, too. And next we think about the soul, right? So, you know, I think about this often. We're really good at making sure, most of us, that we eat three meals a day and that we take care of our bodies. And we're generally pretty good at that, right? I mean, we take showers at least once a year. And this is a good thing and really good. And so we do these things to take care of this outer shell, this body. Sometimes we forget about the soul. Well, that matters to God, too. That's important too. It's an important piece of the part that makes up the puzzle of us, the beauty of His creation. And so we're called to care for the soul. I think I said it in a devotion this week. It may have been last night, or they all kind of run together at this point. But one of them, I said this, God calls us to come close to Him. St. James says, God says in St. James, draw close to God and He will draw close to us. Now, don't misunderstand that. It's not saying that God has ever drawn away from you. In the history of all creation, God has never left His creation. Even in, when the Israelites were in sin and in exile, God was still with them in His presence. God does not leave us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always present with us. This we can be assured of. But when we approach it spiritually, it opens up the text. And what God is saying to us is, draw close to me. Get to know my heart. And as you get to know my heart, you will know the depth of my love for all creation, all races, all tribes, all peoples under the sun. You will get to know my love, and it will flow out of you. And as you do that, my love, my presence, my grace will draw closer to you and will begin flowing out of you. After all, James also says, faith without works is dead. Now, he's not saying you got to do good works to go to heaven. We know that's wrong. We just read it in our explanation to our creeds. We do good works because God in Jesus Christ has come into our life by virtue of baptism, floods us with His love and grace, and we overflow with that love and grace to others. So if the tree is healthy, the tree produces good fruit. Therefore, you will produce good fruit, and you will love people. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. Take time to be with God every day. The most common excuse I hear from people is, I don't have time. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You use the bathroom and you keep a magazine or read your phone in there. Put it down and read the Bible. Somebody said, you can't do that while you're in the bathroom. God already made you that way. He knows. Okay? You have time. Carve out. Get up 5 minutes earlier. Read the portals of prayer. Find a devotion and pray. Go to bed 5 minutes earlier at night. Read a devotion and pray. Begin there. And let Jesus bring you closer to Him. The soul is valuable. For out of the soul, streams of living water will flow, Jesus says. Out of your soul, as you connect with people in our community, and your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and your fellow students, the grace of Jesus will flow out of you and into their lives, and they will see Jesus. And they will come to know Him because of you. What a beautiful thing. And so that kind of gets rid of the excuse, by the way. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to be a disciple of somebody else because I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. As you draw close to God and He draws close to you, that fear goes away. Because you're so connected with God that the Spirit just flows in and out of you just beautifully as streams of living water. And then there's the mind. And I don't know about you, but the mind, I believe the mind's an important thing. I mean, it plays tricks on you sometimes. And let's be honest, we need to keep the mind healthy. And that's important. And I think probably we forget a lot about that today, but a healthy mind is a healthy thing. A healthy mind and healthy emotions are so important in our world. Taking the time to rest and eating properly, taking the time to connect to other people and have genuine, vulnerable relationships, these are the key to having a healthy mind. And by the way, if you have a mental illness, don't think it's out of bounds for you. I have a mental illness, and guess what? I have found that in seeking out those healthy behaviors and finding people to connect with and having a good psychiatrist and having a good counselor and getting enough sleep and eating enough and having genuine, vulnerable relationships with others, guess what? The Lord does mighty things. And I may not be perfect, as you know I'm not. If you didn't know that, I hate to burst your bubble. I'm not perfect, but it's amazing what God will do for us when we seek out those healthy behaviors. Indeed, you are the pinnacle of God's creation. He has made you to be in His image, just like Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, body, mind, and soul. For that very reason, take care of the treasure of you. If you deal with shame, come talk. If you deal with shame, read an author called Brené Brown. If you deal with shame, allow the grace of God to fill your life and get rid of it. It harms you. If you're carrying some type of burden, seek somebody out. Do these things, and the Spirit of Jesus will well up from within you. Now, the second thing that's important for us to take note of, as God created us in His image. Note what I said earlier. God says, let us make man in our own image. God was in relationship Did you notice that? He's in a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When God made us, a little later on, he says it's not good for man to be alone. God made us to be connected to others. It is not good to be alone. And how refreshing is it to be back here with brothers and sisters that we can see again? Maybe, just maybe, we've realized the impact of what that has, why we need to have connection with others in this time that we've been quarantined in our homes. We have been made to be in relationship. Vulnerable, genuine, honest, and open relationship. It starts in our families. It starts with our marriages. It starts with our children. It starts with being able to share with those around us. You know, this is my emotion right now, and not being ashamed of it or embarrassed to share it. This is what I'm experiencing right now. This is what I'm seeing right now. And I'm reading a book by, I just lost his name. Who are we reading, Steph? Yeah, you lost it too. Anyways, I'm reading a book by a psychologist, and he specializes, Gottman, John Gottman. There it is. Whew, there it is. John Gottman. And John Gottman talks in this book, the fact of, about relationships, especially in marriage and in our homes, is that what happens is we don't share our emotions and our true feelings with others because we're afraid to, or we're embarrassed to, or whatever may get in the way, and we hold those secrets in, and eventually that destroys every relationship in our lives. And then it destroys us too. Because we're not properly seeking connection with others. That's why God created us, you see. This is vastly and hugely important. Now, this is also important in our lives as Christians. This is important in our lives as Christians because the intent, purpose that we exist is to follow with God's will. And everybody says, oh, I don't know if this is God's will. What is God's will? This is God's will. He says it. My will is that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. The only way that happens is when you follow what Jesus says and go and make disciples. The only way that happens is making friends, getting to know people. It doesn't occur standing on the side of a corner holding up a sign that says, God hates you because you're this sin. It doesn't happen when we stand outside abortion clinics and protest. While those things may be important, that's not how we reach people for Jesus. We reach people for Jesus when we take the time to love people, to put them above ourselves, to humble ourselves to be beneath them, and seek to know them at a genuine level. As I've said to you many times, and I'll say again, it happens when we share the love of Jesus by being the presence of the love of Jesus. Use words when necessary. You don't have to have the right things to say. It happens because they know you're a Christian, and they see and experience your love in relationship with them. This is how the kingdom of God grows. It may not grow a particular congregation, but we're not about growing a congregation. We're about growing the kingdom. And when the kingdom grows, churches grow. When the kingdom grows, the world changes. When the kingdom grows, the world becomes more filled with love as people are tapped into the overwhelming forgiveness, love, and grace of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's what we need more than ever right now in our society. The overwhelming, unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ as it flows through us, all because he saw us as the pinnacle of the creation, came down from heaven to forgive our sins, to make us righteous, to make us holy, and to make us his children forever and ever. Oh, by the way, another plug. If you're struggling with something in your life, God has blessed you with pastors and counselors and other professionals you can reach out to any time to establish connection for health and strength. It is not good for man to be alone. We are not meant to bear this life alone. Jesus says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you fulfill the love of Christ. You fulfill the love of Christ. How do you love others? Bear their burdens. How do you love others? Walk hand in hand with people who are hurting. How do you love others? Befriend them. It's really that simple. And in so doing, we are living out the very image of God in our lives. And I don't know about you, but what is so awesome is that as we do, all the troubles we're facing today, all the hate, it begins to dispel. Because as you are the presence of Jesus to others, their hearts and lives change. And it begins a domino effect because they change other hearts and lives too. And before long, the world will be filled with the love of Jesus. In his name, amen.